Does it really matter the time I spend preparing for the Sunday school lesson I'm going to teach? Does it really matter that I commit to waking up and being in Bible study on a Sunday morning, leading or helping or assisting? But I think, does it really matter that I help with Awana or Disciple Makers? Does it really matter that I provide a meal for Edge or Disciple Makers? Does it really matter? Is it making any difference that I give so that kids can go to camp? I give a week's vacation to go and sponsor that. I give a week's vacation to be a part of being a sponsor in that. Does it really matter that I give so that we have buses and vans that we can... Does it really matter that we serve the church? Well, I hope today you can answer that question absolutely. Our youth. I toyed with the idea this week of putting up some of the younger pictures of our guys, but I know they would have killed me if I had did that. But when they were in Awana, and when they were in Sunday school, when they were in their first years of camp, so that you could see not only just the physical development, yeah, we see that, but the spiritual development in these young men and these young ladies. To hear the power of God already working in their life. Does it matter that we invite friends to church? Yeah, it does. Does it matter that we commit to being... Yeah, it matters. Our labor is not in vain. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to invite you to open them to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I promise not to do this too often, but I'm working off the fly again here. We're not going to be in Genesis today. But as I was standing there listening and getting lost in the praise and worship, this verse just began to shout. I've looked at it this week. In fact, I shared it with our boys in our discipleship time at school on Tuesday. And as I see them and I see what God has done in our youth and what God is doing in our youth, and I think about all that God could do, this verse just began to scream in my mind, and I think it helps us to answer that question, does it matter? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start in verse 58. Therefore, and again, anytime we see therefore in the Bible, what do we want to do, guys? See what it's there for. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Guys, as we look at that this morning, evidence that your labor in the Lord was not in vain, and the fact that we have youth, the generation that's going to lead the church, the generation that really, in some respects, is leading the church, they've been equipped, and they're being equipped to carry on the work when you and I are gone, to carry on the work when you and I begin to falter or stumble. Paul is saying, therefore, well, the therefore is there because he's ending a great testimony of the resurrection. And that in Christ Jesus, because He died for us, and because He rose again, there is hope. And that message of hope in the resurrection, the fact that we're going to leave these earthly bodies behind to a body that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The fact that we have victory because death is our greatest enemy, and in Jesus Christ, that enemy has been defeated. We have a message of hope. It's the gospel. It's a message that brings life from death. It draws us from darkness into light. And the work that we do in God's church helps to promote that message, helps to speak that message, helps to pour that message into lives. It matters that we serve. It makes a huge difference that we serve. It makes a huge difference that we sacrifice. It's not just giving so that we can have a charter bus and go to camp in luxury. If we didn't have that, it's giving so that we can have vans or that we can put gas in private vehicles. Whatever it took to get there, we want to get there because we can see the difference that it makes. It's not just a week vacation. It's a week of growing closer to God, to having your year impacted by something God will speak in that moment. Paul says, because we have such a great testimony, because we have such great power in the resurrection, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. It's not an accident that he talks about the resurrection and then he says, stand firm. Because if we don't have the hope of resurrection, we're not going to stand firm. If we don't have the hope that something greater awaits us, then we're going to cower in the face of opposition to the gospel. We're going to cower when it comes for us to take a stand for God's word. We're going to choose to do something else when it comes time to raise our hand and say, hey, you know what? I'll teach that class. Hey, you know what? I'll provide meals for disciple makers. I'll go shop during the week and help get stuff for Edge. I'll help provide things for Sunday school. I'll work with kids. I'll work with youth. I'll work with the adults. I'll do the nursery. You know, the nursery matters. Because not only are kids here hearing the Word of God, but their parents are able to be here and be trained in the Word of God so they can train their children in the way they should go. The nursery is not just something where we want to put kids and warehouse them. It's a ministry of the church. It's something that we should never beg. It's something we should never have to plead for because it matters. It makes a difference. Kids begin to formulate their idea of God in the church in those moments. Paul says this, stand firm. Too many times our feet are way too swift to run to other things than the Word of God. When it's time for us to take a stand, we're like feet in a flowing river that's really rushing fast. Our feet are being taken out from under us. We need to be people who dig down into the sand and get our feet planted up to our ankles in the mud of that river. And when the rushing torrent comes, we stand. We're not swept away. We don't go along with every wave of doctrine. We don't go along with culture. In fact, we live like strangers and aliens, as Peter says, in this world. We're standing firm because we know what we do makes a difference. The work we do, if it's for the Lord, makes a difference. Now, we can do things in the church, and it's not for the Lord, and it's not going to make a difference. In fact, it'll build us up, but it's not building anyone else up. When we do it for the Lord, it makes a difference. And that's a distinction Paul makes here. He says, we stand firm because we don't want anything to move us from accomplishing the work that God has for us in the church. The church was never intended, if you look in God's Word, to be a place where people come and sit. You know what I love about our youth right now, and especially this group that's here right now, is I didn't ask them to do a youth service. They came and said, Can we lead in our church? Can we lead out in praising God because we love Him and we want to sing praises to Him and we want to help with that. We want to be a part. We're a part of this church. We're a part of the body of Christ. We want to lead. Amen. Isn't that awesome? What a great testimony for us that they're seeing that we want to stand firm. We're not just over there waiting to come in on the batter's box, but we are in the game. We're in the mission. We're asking our friends to come. We're living and standing firm at school for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, stand firm. Be immovable. Don't let this world overwhelm you. Don't let the fear of this world and what may happen in this world keep us from inviting that family to come, from inviting a friend to come to Disciple Makers or to Edge, inviting them to come to Sunday school or inviting them to come to church. They may reject you once. They may reject you 50 times. They may avoid you in fishers. But guess what? That thousandth time that you ask them, that might be the time that the Holy Spirit's also working. And you come along and confirm the work of the Holy Spirit. Your effort will not be in vain. Nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. Let nothing move you. Here's Paul's command or encouragement for us. Always. Now, we don't need to get into the Greek to figure out what that word always means. Always means always. When a trick question, okay? Always. Always. Not when it's convenient. Do you realize that our schedules and our life is never going to be ordered enough for us to be able to serve the Lord well? Do you realize it's never going to be the right time to serve the Lord? Do you realize that we're never going to be spiritually where we need to be in order to serve the Lord? I got to tell you something. If I have to wait till I'm spiritually where I need to preach the gospel, I'm never going to preach the gospel again. I just got to be honest with you. I'm going to be real. If I have to be spiritually ready in a place before I can preach, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm striving. I'm moving. But I'm not. It's a matter of always giving ourselves over. That doesn't mean we don't study and we don't try to get to that place. But it means we don't use that as an excuse. We don't use that as a reason not to accomplish the work of God. You see, it's all about serving God. We serve the body of Christ, His church. We're serving God. We're giving to Him. That always comes at a sacrifice. It's never going to be easy and convenient. You know, at 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon, it sure seems like a good idea to take a long nap. After all, I need my me time, right? I got to have my time. Yet, Paul says, always, even at 4:30, even at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, even during the week when I have to prepare a lesson, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, there's a lot of places our praise team could be. A lot of things they could be doing. Life is not just open and they're not giving up anything to be here. But they're saying, you know what? Always give myself to the work of the Lord. Always give to the work of the Lord. Why? I love that Paul answers this. Because you know, you're convinced. It's very clear that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sunday school teacher, your labor is not in vain. I know at times when you're opening the Word and you're teaching that class and you're getting the look. When you're proclaiming the Word of God and they're... When you're proclaiming the Word and they're talking about the latest video game, when they're talking about the last game they had, it's tough. When you don't see physical results sometimes, it's hard. But stand firm. Your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. God will use your sacrifice. God will use your work. When there's things that you want to be doing, but you know it's time to sit and prepare that lesson, God will use that time. Not because you're great, but because He's great and because He wants to accomplish something great through you. We're never fully equipped, but God comes along and does the equipping for us. He equips the called. If we'll surrender, what we find is God will do an amazing work in us far beyond anything we could ever imagine. Man, I see this all the time. Sometimes, you know, when I see our youth and I'll ask them to do something, there's like a deer in the headlights look sometimes. Like, what? You want me to do what? Yet they do it and they surrender to it. And I see God moving them in such a great way. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. That means it's not useless. It means it's not meaningless. You don't know what your decision to invite someone to church is going to result in. You don't know what your decision to be a part of the ministries of this church are going to be. You don't know what your commitment to a time of prayer collectively with the people of God, you don't know what that's going to result in. Your prayer is not in vain. Your service is not in vain. Your work is not in vain. Maybe you feel a need to spruce up the outside of this place. Your labor is not in vain. That might be just the thing that someone says, oh, look at those flowers, that's nice. Let me go see what's going on over there. And they come in and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and their life is forever changed. And then they go out and they begin to serve. And then they spread the gospel to someone who is changed. And then they go out and they begin to serve. You see the message Paul is saying here? Your labor is not in vain. Don't fear your inability. Trust in God's ability. Trust in God's plan. If God can raise Jesus from the dead and defeat death once and for all, He can use every one of us in this room. He can impact this world. He did it with a couple of fishermen, a tax collector, a doctor. He did it with a guy who was actually trying to stop the movement of Jesus Christ. I think He can do it with us. This morning, I want us to remember that our labors are not in vain. If it's a labor in the work of the Lord, is it designed to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is what we do done so that the gospel may be proclaimed and shared? Is it done so that we can equip others to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we doing it not for people to celebrate us and build our kingdom so that if something changes, we're angry and mad and jealous and frustrated? Or are we doing it knowing that I'm just a vessel? And when God's done with me in this area, He may move me to something else. I'm doing it for the Lord and I know that it's not in vain. I don't know how many times I've told myself, ugh, I'm just not making any difference. I'm not making an impact anymore. And yet, then God will show me later on in life, you know what? You weren't. You're right. You absolutely weren't making a difference. But I was through you. I was through you. Your labor is not in vain. As a church, it's time for us to commit to stand firm. To quit being moved around by our schedules. Being dictated by what the world says we have to do. We need to stand firm and be immovable in doing the work of Jesus Christ, of building His church as we sing about, of reviving His church, of pouring into the lives of those around us. You know, Sunday school could be so much more than just a time where we come and sit. It could be a time of great discipleship. But we need more people who are willing to serve in that. Wednesday nights for our youth could be such a stronger time of discipleship. But we need people who are willing to serve in that. Disciple makers can be so much more if we're inviting and encouraging kids to come and we're willing to meet them at the door and say, I want to pour into you what Christ has poured into me. And you do that knowing that your labor is never, ever in vain when it's for the Lord. I wonder this morning, are we committed to the work of the Lord? You know what's going to be in vain more times than not? Coming and only sitting in a seat and then leaving. That's going to probably be a little bit in vain. I think we're going to realize opportunities we missed. It's good to come to church. I want you to come to church. I want us to be together worshiping. But scripturally, Paul says, let's not just come and sit, but let's always give ourselves over to the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is dynamic and flowing. The work of the Lord is purposeful. Are we at that place where we're doing that? Are we at that place where we're giving sacrificially? When it comes to giving our tithe and offering, are we giving sacrificially? Are we so dependent on other things that we have lost our dependence upon God? Don't lose heart. Your labor is not in vain. It's a great testimony to seeing these guys up here leading, taking up offering and giving the welcome and praying and praying over our offering and scripture and sharing their testimonies. It should bring great encouragement to our heart. And it should charge us up. It should ready us and say, you know what? We can do more. God has so much more He wants to do. There's a whole community of youth. There's a whole community of children. There's a whole community of adults that if I'll commit to serve, God can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we commit to that, and we realize our labor is not in vain, then we slowly begin taking walls out of this place because we can't hold the response, not to us, but to Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, and Daniel and I were talking about this morning. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus didn't use a light show. Jesus didn't just use instruments, and He didn't have to construe everything so that it was culturally pleasing to the eye. Jesus spoke the truth of God's Word. Jesus did do miracles, and it drew people in. But when they came in, it wasn't a feel-good message. It wasn't a, you're okay, I'm okay, you get along, and we'll get along, and we'll hold hands, and we'll merrily walk through this world together. When they came in, the first thing He said was, repent, turn, and follow Me. It was a message that you need what I'm bringing. It was the truth that God was offering salvation. A salvation that's more than just a head knowledge that we talked about in Bible study this morning. But it's a receiving and it's a living that Jesus Christ is God and that we follow Him and trust Him for our salvation. Is that the salvation that you know? Is yours a Jesus plus? Well, I believe in Jesus and I trust Him, but I've also got to do all these other things in order to be saved. I've got to give enough. I've got to be willing to, you know, help old ladies across the street. I've got to do certain sacraments in order to be saved. No, the Bible is very clear. It's Jesus. God's grace. It's faith alone through God's grace alone. Is that the salvation that you're living in? Is that the salvation that makes you want to sing praises? Makes you want to share your testimony? Makes you want to lift up God and elevate Him beyond all else? Understand, when that's our basis of faith, we're transformed, we're made new, and we're called in that transformation to serve. In fact, we're called to always give ourselves over to the work of the Lord because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes that service takes the form of giving monetarily. Sometimes it takes the form of giving of ourselves. Are we committed to doing that? That's my invitation for us today. Are we committed to Jesus Christ, the way He was committed to the Father and to us? Jesus didn't just come and talk about laying down His life. Jesus came and laid down His life. Jesus didn't talk about obedience to the Father. He was obedient, Paul says in Philippians, unto death, even death on the cross. Jesus always gave Himself over to the work of the Lord, knowing that His labor wasn't in vain. Would everybody accept His gift? No. But it wasn't in vain because someone would. I did. Devin did. Miss Lou did. Troy did. His labor on the cross was not in vain, because God accomplished something great through it. Are you here this morning and you're searching for something? Church doesn't have meaning to you. Life is just so blah. It just seems like the same thing. Have you not come to Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Maybe you have, but you've come and He's just fire insurance. He hasn't changed your life to the point where you're committed to the work of serving. I guarantee you there is a place of service for you in this church. And if you can't find it, come talk to me. I'll find you a place. There's places for you to serve. There's things that you can do that will keep you constantly, always giving yourself over to the work of the Lord. The question is, are we loving the Lord enough? Are we committed enough? Do we believe that message enough as a church that we're willing to do that? Our ladies are going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. That invitation is for us to respond. Respond to the message. Not, Ralph, if I've said anything that's not of God, then you just deposit that in the wastebasket on the way out. Listen to what the Word of God said. Always give yourselves over to the work of the Lord, because you know that your service in the Lord is not in vain. Maybe today is a day to just come and make a stand and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. As Joshua said, I don't know about everybody else, but for me and my house, we're going to commit to serving the Lord. Maybe now is the time for you to come and say, you know what, I haven't really been. I kind of like to stay on the edge and watch what's going. You know, the nice thing about living on the edge and kind of staying a little bit back is it's so much easier to sharpshoot people that way. You know what, we can make ourselves feel better by talking about how they should do something different, or they should do something different, or why aren't we doing this? It's a lot harder when we actually jump into the pool and find out the water's cold, it's hot, it's rough. Not as easy to sharpshoot because we're busy serving what God has called us. Maybe today you need to make the commitment to serving the one that you profess to be Lord. See, a lot of people profess Jesus as Lord, but we don't serve Him as Lord. Because we serve Him, the Word says, by serving His church and serving others. This morning, as you stand, I want to invite you to respond to God's Word this morning. Maybe it's salvation in Jesus Christ. Not a religion, not because Grandma was a hard-shell Baptist, not because I've done certain sacraments. Baptism does nothing but get you wet if it's not from a heart of repentance. Maybe you need to truly come to Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you're not serving because you've not been served by the one who came to serve and to lay down His life. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow Him as Lord in service. I'm going to invite you to come. The altar will be open. Our deacons can be available to pray. You can grab someone else and say, I want someone to come with me and help me to stay accountable. I'm going to find a place where I can serve my church, serve my Savior, serve my Lord. Because I know that is going to have meaning and purpose, and it's not going to be in vain. Father, we come before You now, and we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the opportunity You've given us now. Lord, be with us and keep us. Use this time for Your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.